Welcome to episode 973 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Did you know that the Great Fire of London in 1666, which destroyed much of the city, started from a small spark in a bakery? The fire raged uncontrollably for 3 days, reducing much of London to ashes and leaving thousands homeless. Just as this small spark led to an uncontrollable blaze that swept through an entire city, the Bible warns us that even the smallest sin, if left unchecked, can lead to devastating consequences. But in the same way, God's judgment, while it may begin with something small, will ultimately consume all that is sinful and restore justice and righteousness. The concept of judgment resonates deeply within the human conscience. Across cultures and religions, the idea of a final reckoning where justice is administered and wrongs are righted holds a significant place. For Christians, the doctrine of the final judgment is not just a theological concept, but a pivotal aspect of our faith. It is the moment when God's justice and mercy will be fully displayed, and every individual will stand before the Creator to give an account of their lives. In his second letter to the Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul provides a profound exposition on the judgment to come, focusing on both its terrifying and comforting aspects. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul writes a powerful affirmation. "This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering." Here, Paul is not suggesting that suffering in itself is meritorious, but rather that the believer's perseverance through trials is proof of their worthiness of God's kingdom. Their endurance in the face of persecution is a testimony to their faith, and it serves as a precursor to the ultimate vindication they will receive when Christ returns. The theme of divine justice is central to Paul's message. In a world where injustice often seems to reign, where the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer, the promise of divine justice offers hope. Paul assures the Thessalonians that God's judgment is righteous and he will ultimately set things right. The trials they are enduring are not a sign of God's absence or indifference, but part of his divine plan to purify and prepare them for the kingdom. This concept of justice is deeply rooted in the Bible. From the Old to the New Testament, God is depicted as a righteous judge who will one day hold the entire world accountable. In Deuteronomy 32:4, Moses declares, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he." Similarly, the Psalms are replete with references to God's righteous judgment, as in Psalm 9, verse 8, "He will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice." Paul's message to the Thessalonians is consistent with this biblical theme. He reassures them that their suffering is not in vain and that God's judgment will ultimately bring justice to those who have wronged them. The wicked will not go unpunished and the righteous will be vindicated. This is the essence of divine justice. It is impartial, thorough, and inevitable. Paul then turns his attention to the future, to the day when Christ will return to execute judgment upon the earth. He describes this event in vivid and awe-inspiring terms. "When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." The imagery of Christ's return is striking. Paul paints a picture of a triumphant and glorious Jesus, descending from heaven with a host of angels, clothed in flaming fire. This is not the meek and humble Jesus who walked the earth 2,000 years ago. This is the conquering King, the righteous judge, coming to bring justice to the world. The phrase, "taking vengeance," is particularly powerful. It conveys the idea of divine retribution, God's righteous response to the wickedness and rebellion of humanity. It is important to understand that God's vengeance is not the same as human revenge. While human revenge is often motivated by anger, hatred, and a desire for personal vindication, God's vengeance is rooted in his perfect justice. It is his holy response to sin and evil, a necessary action to restore order and righteousness in the universe. Those who have rejected God and his offer of salvation through Jesus Christ will face the full weight of his justice. Paul continues his description of the judgment to come with a solemn warning. "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." The concept of everlasting destruction is one of the most sobering aspects of the judgment. It speaks to the eternal consequences of sin and rebellion against God. This everlasting destruction is not eternal torment, but rather eternal separation from God. This aligns with the biblical teaching that the wages of sin is death, not eternal suffering. The ultimate punishment for sin is to be forever cut off from the source of life, joy, and goodness, God Himself. This is the true tragedy of sin. It leads to a state of existence where one is completely separated from God with no hope of restoration. Paul's reference to being away from the presence of the Lord highlights the severity of this punishment. Throughout Scripture, the presence of God is associated with life, blessing, and peace. To be in God's presence is to experience fullness of joy, but to be cast away from His presence is to experience the full weight of His judgment. This is the essence of hell, an existence devoid of God's presence, where the sinner is left to face the consequences of their choices. While Paul's description of judgment is sobering, it is also tempered by the theme of mercy. The very fact that God has delayed His judgment is an act of mercy. In 2 Peter 3:9, we read, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God's desire is not to punish, but to save. His judgment is reserved for those who have persistently rejected His mercy and have chosen to remain in rebellion. Moreover, Paul's description of the judgment is not just a message of doom for the wicked, but also a message of hope for the righteous. In verse 10, he writes, "When He comes, in that day, to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." For the believer, the return of Christ is not a day of terror, but a day of glory and vindication. This dual aspect of judgment, justice for the wicked and mercy for the righteous, reflects the character of God. He is a God of justice who will not allow sin to go unpunished, but He is also a God of mercy who offers salvation and eternal life to all who believe in His Son. This is the essence of the gospel message, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, so that we might be saved from the judgment to come. Understanding the reality of the judgment to come has profound implications for how we live our lives today. As Christians who understand the promises and prophecies, we are called to live in the awareness that the day of the Lord is approaching. This awareness should not lead to fear, but to a deeper commitment to living a life that honors God. First, it calls us to a life of holiness. Knowing that we will one day stand before a holy and righteous judge should motivate us to pursue a life of purity and obedience to God's commands. In 1 Peter 1, verses 15 to 16, we are exhorted, "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Holiness is not just about avoiding sin, but about actively seeking to reflect the character of Christ in our daily lives. Second, it calls us to a life of service. The knowledge of the coming judgment should inspire us to share the gospel with others so that they too may be saved. Jesus' great commission to go and make disciples of all nations takes on even greater urgency when we understand that the day of the Lord is near. Note the three angels' messages of Revelation 14, which include a call to fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. Finally, it calls us to a life of hope. The judgment to come is not just about the punishment of the wicked, but also about the reward of the righteous. For those who have placed their faith in Christ, the judgment is a moment of vindication and victory. We look forward to the day when Christ will return to set all things right, to wipe away every tear, and to bring us into the fullness of His kingdom. The message of the judgment to come, as articulated by Paul in 2 Thessalonians 1 verses 5 to 10, is one that balances the themes of justice and mercy. It is a reminder that God is a righteous judge who will not allow sin to go unpunished, but it is also a message of hope for those who have placed their trust in Christ. As we live in anticipation of that great day, may we be motivated to pursue holiness, to share the gospel, and to hold fast to the hope of eternal life. The judgment is coming. May we be found ready and faithful when our Lord returns. Father, we stand in awe of Your justice and mercy, knowing Your judgment is righteous and true. Help us to live in a way that honors You, always mindful of the day when we will stand before Your throne. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.